Praise God. The word that just came forth about people that the Lord, you know, says he's going to bring the people. The Lord ministered to me yesterday because I was praying about some that I have known for years. They're supposed to be part of this, and they still just seem to be dumb as stumps. I'm sorry. I hate to even say it that way, but it kind of appears that way, and that's kind of what that word was saying, that they've counted you as a no account because you don't do it the religious way or the traditionally taught way. And that's kind of what this word is about. The Lord gave me yesterday. It's called Learning My Ways. People missed Jesus because he didn't do it the traditional religious way. He even wept over Jerusalem. Said, you're the city that stones the prophets that I've sent to you. You've killed the prophets that brought my message. And so that's happening today. The prophets are proclaiming loud and clear, have been for a good while, about what's coming on the earth. And this complacency, this I don't want to hear anything, it's coming to a close. You will not be able to be a Christian and live in la-la land anymore. It's like the hour has become so serious and the power of darkness has grown so increasingly. It's time, like Danny had in the Word, the sons of God, the manifestation of the sons of God, the shining forth of the sons of God to appear in the earth and to begin to change things. We're preparing for his coming. This is the greatest time on earth to be alive. It's the greatest day to be a Christian because I believe we're going to see the power of God in manifestation that we've talked about all our Christian lives and heard others say. And you've only gotten glimpses of it at times, but it's going to be the way we live and walk all the time. A glory like we've never seen before. Well, you know, for great darkness to be overcome, great glory has to show up. And so that's why there'll always be babies in the body of Christ. And if anybody has the right to be a baby and be immature, it's the babies, not the ones that have been in the walk for forever. But anyway, the Lord began to speak to me yesterday about learning his ways. And I want to read Isaiah 55.
Is this Prophet's Corner?
It's Prophet's Corner Uncut. Yeah, I've been crying out to the Lord for those because you can just speak and speak and speak and speak for years and believe and stand, and then sometimes you just kind of let go of it and just forget about it and you don't say nothing anymore because you just get tired of it. And recently the Lord was telling me about our children. Don't allow them to go the way of the enemy. Do not allow it. You get that petition and you start reading that petition and you start believing me about those petitions you've already made. Don't let them drop and fall to the ground. It's like Danny said, you know, the prophets proclaimed Jesus. He didn't come until, 400 years later? Did one word of his fall to the ground? Not one single word. Not one. What's time got to do with it? Nothing. His word won't return void. This is Isaiah 55. I'm going to read the first 13 verses of Isaiah 55. It says, wait and listen, everyone who is thirsty. Come to the waters. This is verse 1. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your earnings for what does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me. Eat and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. We are the most entertained society that's ever been on the face of the earth, and people live from cruise to cruise, trip to trip, movie to movie, ball game to ball game, sport to sport, and they don't even give God. I thought, this is their life. It eats them up. It consumes them. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul will revive. And I will make an everlasting covenant or league with you, even the sure mercy promised to David. He said, I will rebuild David's fallen house. Behold, I have appointed him to be a witness, one who shall testify salvation to the nations and a prince and commander to the peoples. Behold, you shall call nations that you know not, and nations that you do not know shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified. When they see the glory, they're going to run to you. Seek, inquire for, and require the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord. And he will have love, pity, and mercy for him and to our God, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out. I like the way the Amplified says, it's from spiritual exile. People are in bondage. They're in spiritual exile today, caused by sin and evil into the homeland, the Father's house, with joy, and be led forth by the Lord, the leader, the Lord himself and his word. With peace, and mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn, people are just, they're toiling and spinning, and all they are is coming into thorns. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name of renown, for an everlasting sign, which shall not be cut off. And the Lord began to speak to me this. He said, unfortunately, the world and most of the church think ill of me. They think that I allow one to die and another to live. Nothing could be further from the truth. John 10:10 says, I came that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. I have never and never will withhold from those who come to me with their request and believe me by faith. See, people are coming to God, but they're not coming to God based on his ways. God has a way, a mode of operation. I'll tell you what, if they go in to see a doctor, they're going to abide by the guidelines in that office, and they're going to pay, and they're going to do whatever it requires them to do, or they won't get treatment. Why would they think that God should just be flippant and just give them whatever they want, however they act, whatever they do, without knowing his ways? It's kind of like trying to understand Q. He said, learn my comms. Learn our comms. When you learn his comms, you know exactly what he's saying. This is the way it is with God. When you learn his ways, then you can flow in his ways, and you can have what Isaiah 55 talks about. No more thorns, no more briars, fruitfulness in every area. Okay, Matthew 7. Well, God killed me, killed my whatever, so I could learn something. Or the Lord allowed my house to be burned down to teach me something. I remember Brother Hagin talking to somebody. They'd been having something for 25 years, and I just believe the Lord gave it to me to teach me something. He said, have you learned anything? He said, yeah, I hate it. I don't want to be sick. That's what I've learned from it. God don't put sickness on his children. How dare the person who insinuates it? It disgusts me. Talking about my father that way? Those are fighting words as far as I'm concerned. You lame brain. They don't mean to be lame brains, but if you sit under the lame brain preachers, what do you expect? The Lord's been trying to probably call you out of there for 50 years, and you're just so steeped in tradition and whoever's needing to hear this today that'll hear it other than us. Matthew 7. Well, you just never know what the Lord's going to do. You know what? Look in the book. You know exactly what He'll do. His Word tells you just exactly what He'll do and what He's already done. All right. Matthew 7. 7. Keep on asking, it will be given you. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on seeking finds. To him who keeps on knocking, it will be open. You know what this says to me? Keep on being diligent. Keep on believing God. Keep on trusting God. Or what man is there of you, if his son asks for a loaf of bread, will hand him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will hand him a serpent? They throw people in jail for doing this kind of things to their kids. If you then, evil as you are, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking Him? My word makes it loud and clear what I will do. It also makes it loud and clear what I've already done. Yes and amen. He said, all my promises are yes. They were promises in the old covenant. They're already done in the new. Yes. Then what is the problem? Your ways get in my way. It blocks the answer. Romans 12, 1 and 2. If we want to know His comms and His way, this is what we have to do. But so many people are living in the past, the days of the charismatic movement when there were so many newbies coming in. Every ministry had their prayer line, prayer, 24-hour prayer service. So people got in the habit of just running to anybody and everybody all the time, getting their prayers answered instead of getting in His Word and finding out what His will is. Not just His overall general will, but His defined will. Okay. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of the mercies of God, that to make a decisive dedication of your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect. So, He's telling us, when we become born again, submitting to His Word is submitting to His ways. Learn my ways. You see it my way, you get it my way. When you don't see it my way, you don't get it my way. Learning my ways only result in happy days. Most reject my ways because it does not make sense to them. They despise my ways and they go their own ways. I can't tell you how many times over the last 25 years that we saw people, when they realized we met in a home, they just kept on trucking. And they had a word from God. They needed to be there, but they just kept on going, well, you know, there ain't nothing for my kids, there ain't nothing for them, blah, 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 blah. They just, all kinds of excuses. Well, you didn't do it the right way. Like I've said before, I'd rather be the way we are and stay that way forever than to accommodate that other way. I don't want a part of it. I hate it. I hate it. And God hates it even worse than I hate it. We just saw a movie by that was produced by a Christian athlete. Nothing against the athlete, just stupid in the ways of God. And in the movie, it portrays that God's plan was for one brother to die and the other brother to live. And it was just like, God don't operate off of death. He has nothing to do with death. It was never His idea. And this will be called, oh, this is a wonderful Christian movie. It's from the pit. it's from hell. And the church just embraces it. Oh! Oh, I'm just furious over it. Lord, help me. I'm furious about it. But you know what's even worse? The Lord is furious about it too. Oh, they're just such a good Christian. Well, they may be. But you've got to know His ways. God does not operate with killing, stealing, and destroying. He has no part of that. Well, you know, I've learned a lot through being sick. Only thing I've ever learned was I don't want to be sick. 1 Samuel 20. I'm sorry if I'm on a rant this morning. I'm so ready for God's people to quit playing. Quit messing around. Let's get serious about what God wants done so we can get out of this cesspool. 1 Timothy 2. Well, you know what? We're not really coming out of this cesspool. Jesus is coming to this cesspool, and He's going to clean the cesspool up, and we're going to be here for a while. I just want to be where Jesus is. How about that? This is 1 Samuel 2:30. This is a promise that was made to Eli the priest or his family line. But they didn't hold up their end of the bargain. His sons were evil. It says, "Therefore the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I did promise that your house and that your father," his forefather was Aaron, "should go in and out before me forever. But now the Lord says, be it far from me. For those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." When we look at a situation and we say, well, God can't be in that because we don't like the way it looks, we are despising His ways. And so, whenever you despise His ways, when you need Him, He'll despise you. Know my ways and I show up. Despise my ways and I won't show up. You've got to give Him something to work with. People just think, well, it's just a random thing. I'm just going to reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by. His occasional, yeah, well, I'll heal that one. But no, you're sorry, whatever. I'm not going to heal you. Or I'm not going to do that for you. That's the thinking. Well, you just never know. Yeah, you do. You know exactly what the Word of God says He will do and what He's already done. But it's this scatterload praying and this weird thinking. Well, you just never know what God will do. I know exactly what my Father will do. He'll do exactly what He says He's going to do in His Word. But I hear that all the time. You just never know. Just never know. You know what? One of these days when they really need God, they'll never know what they need to do. They've established that in their life. Well, His ways are past finding out. Well, I thought it said you could ask Him for wisdom and He'd give it to you. See how the devil traps us in our words? We oppose God. Okay, 2 Timothy 1:10. This was given to me yesterday. I've got a whole week's worth here. 2 Timothy 1:10. It is that purpose and grace which He now has made known, has fully disclosed and made real to us. His Word is full disclosure today. And made real to us through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who annulled death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Light and immortality. His word, and through Jesus Christ, he has fully disclosed it. Proverbs 19:23. We need to get death out of our mouth. 19:23. The reverent, worshipful fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it rests satisfied. He cannot be visited with evil. Amplify says actual evil. Maybe pretend, false evidence appearing real, but no actual evil. I cannot consider their ways, but they must consider mine. God's not going to change his ways to fit you or anybody else. We have to change our ways. That's why he says, renew your mind. Have a mindset change so that you can operate in the kingdom of God and receive everything that I died to bring you. So consider your ways today to see if you're considering my ways. All right, Haggai chapter 1 says that very thing, that we are to consider our ways. Are you sowing a lot or a little? Reaping a lot or little? This is chapter 1. In the second year of Darius, king of Persia, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by means of Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come that the Lord's house should be rebuilt. It says here that Cyrus had ordered it done 18 years before. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you yourselves to dwell on your paneled houses while the house lies in ruins. The house of the Lord lies in ruins. Now, therefore, thus consider the Lord of hosts. Consider your ways and set your mind on what has come to you. It's time for the body of Christ to put the business of the Lord first. Quit playing Disneyland. You have sown much, but you have reaped little. You eat, but you do not have enough. You drink, but you do not have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages has earned them to put them in a bag with holes in it. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, your previous and present conduct, and how you have fared. In other words, how is fending for yourself and doing your own thing working out for you? Go up to the hill country and bring lumber and rebuild my house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, and behold, it came to little. And even when you brought it home, it blew away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house, which lies waste, while you yourselves run each man to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its crop produce. And I've called for a drought upon the land and the hill country, upon the grain and the fresh wine, the oil, upon what the ground brings forth, upon men and cattle, upon all the toil of men's hands. You know, I know people, I know of a couple that I'm thinking about. As long as I've known them, over 30 years, it's always, they go from one horrible tragedy to another and just continual loss and bad, and they tithe. What's wrong? Learning his ways. Boo-hooing before the Lord. Like he's not done anything. The Lord's even had me at times agree with them for some victory. But the problem was, they was counting on it, me carrying the load. And they do nothing but continue on their way. Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest with all the remnant of the people, listened to and obeyed the voice of the Lord their God. Not vaguely or partly, but completely, according to the words of Haggai the prophet, since the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared and turned to the Lord. Let me see 15. Then Haggai, Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And the Lord aroused the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, so that they came and labored on the house of the Lord of hosts and their God on the 24th day of the sixth month. So they started coming around to God's way of looking at things and started doing things His way. And problem solved. Okay, here. The Lord says here. This is 2 Timothy 2. Verse 1. So you, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the instructions which you have heard from me, along with many witnesses, to reliable and faithful men who will be competent and qualified to teach others. Take with me your share of the hardships and sufferings as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier, when in service, gets entangled in the enterprises of civilian life. His aim is to satisfy and please the one who enlisted him. If anyone enters competitive games, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully, fairly, according to the rules laid down. It is the hardworking farmer who labors to produce who must be the first partaker of the fruits. Think over these things I am saying, for the Lord will grant you full insight and understanding in everything. Constantly keep in mind Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descended from David according to the good news that I preach, that for that gospel I'm suffering affliction, even wearing chains like a criminal, but the word of God is not chained or imprisoned. Therefore I persevere and stand my ground with patience and endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they too may obtain salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure and worthy of confidence. If we have died with him, we also shall live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny and disown and reject him, he will also deny and disown and reject us. Get what he's saying here? If we don't know his ways, when we need him, he won't be there. And that's why these people I'm talking about that believe that, oh, you know, now we see why. If we are faithless, do not believe and are untrue to him, he remains true, faithful to his word and his righteous character, for he cannot deny himself. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, I don't understand. Well, the Lord won't do this and he won't do that. Or are you keeping his word? Are you doing his word? Well, no. Hadn't cracked the Bible in 40 years. You know what I'm saying? Remind the people of these facts and solemnly charge them in the presence of the Lord to avoid petty controversy over words which does no good but upsets and undermines the faith of the hearers. Study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. But avoid all empty, vain, useless talk, idle talk, for that it will lead people into more and more ungodliness. And their teaching will devour it, will eat its way like cancer or spread like gangrene. So it is with Hymenaeus and Philetus. These doctrines, these false doctrines that the church believes and embraces about God and what he's done for us or has not done for us, this is pollution. This is heresy. This has totally made the church, they don't have the power to get themselves well, much less go out and pray for anybody else. It says, refuse, shut your mind against this stuff. And the servant of the Lord must not be quarrelsome, fighting and contending. Instead, he must be kind to everyone and mild-tempered, preserving the bond of peace. He must be a skilled and suitable teacher, patient, forbearing, and willing to suffer wrong. He must correct his opponents with courtesy and gentleness and the hope that God may grant that they will repent and come to know the truth, that they will perceive and recognize and become accurately acquainted with and acknowledge it, and that they may come to their senses and escape out of the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him henceforth to do his will. So this sounds like Isaiah. They have, by listening to God's word, they have the ability to get themselves out of the snare of the devil by listening to the word. That's what Isaiah says. Instead of the thorn will come up the myrtle tree. They'll come out of spiritual exile Into the homeland. That's Father's house. Okay.